Hey friends, this is Pastor Ron, Pleasant Grove Church. Thanks so much for taking the time to listen today. And here is some good news from the Grove.
All right, take your Bible, turn to Habakkuk chapter 3. Habakkuk chapter 3. Just want to be in verse 17, 18, and 19. And I pray this will be a word of hope and encouragement to you. God wants us to live by faith. Amen. Live by faith. And let's talk about how to overcome difficult times. Now, this may be a word that you need in the season you're in right now. It might be one of those words where you got to put it in the file cabinet. You know what I mean? Put it in the file cabinet in case you need it. Because, you know, the thing about life here, we're either coming out of a difficult season or we're headed towards one. It's just the nature of what we live in. But we don't have to ebb and flow in our faith with the times. We don't have to be under the circumstances, do we? And this is going to help us with Habakkuk 3. Now, Habakkuk is the prophet from Judah. He's from the south side of the kingdom. He's in the southern kingdom in Judah, right? This is around 600 years before Jesus was born. It's in the time of Jeremiah. He speaks. You remember Jeremiah the prophet? All the weeping and all the warnings that he gave to Judah about the Babylonians coming. And that this is the time of the Babylonian exile. So this is not a real fun time in all of Israel. All right. So now let me see. I deleted a slide. Let me go here. Let's go back down here. For some reason, I deleted that slide. All right. Let's read this together. So this is then the time of some serious, serious trouble. Jerusalem's on fire. Judah is being taken captive into Babylon. And this is what Habakkuk, he writes three short chapters. And this is the summation of his work. This is kind of his faith statement at the end of his writing right here. You ready? Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on the high hills. You're good. I mean, that's a real good word of encouragement right there. Though the fig tree fail to blossom, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Amen. Come on, let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Habakkuk, Lord. We thank you for the sacrifice that he paid to get us this word. Thank you for the perseverance that he showed, the faith that he showed. And Father, I pray that you would put that same kind of faith on the inside of us. Help us to be a people that don't cave under pressure, Lord, no matter which angle it may come from, internal or outside of us or whatever. Lord, help us to have the kind of faith that just gets stronger and stronger. Help us to go from glory to glory and from faith to faith. I just bless your people. In the name of Jesus, all God's people said amen. Amen. All right, let's start this over right here again. All right, so now, the state of the union is this. The state of Judah is not good. It's not good at all during Habakkuk's time. The nation has forsaken God. See if all this sounds familiar. Immorality is rampant. Idolatry is widespread. Idolatry, the worship of false gods, other gods, is widespread throughout the nation. Indifference has taken over everybody. Even some of the good folks don't care. Greed and oppression are everywhere. People are living under that yoke of bondage. Lies, corruption, and deceit are absolutely the norm. There's a few righteous, but not very many. Most people have fallen into sin, complacency, or serving other gods. Imagine living in a place like that. Don't have to imagine too much, do we? Kind of sounds like what we're living in today. So I believe God's word has something to say to us. The nation is decaying right before the prophet's eyes, kind of like ours is. And anytime we go through tough times, it raises some tough questions for us, some challenges to our faith. And understanding God is very difficult. In fact, the entire writing of Habakkuk, those three short chapters, are basically him questioning God, what's happening here? All that kind of thing. So when things happen and they just continue to get worse, sometimes God, when are you going to do something about all this madness? Feel that way, don't you? God, when are you going to answer my prayers or our prayers? Save my kids. When is that going to happen? Or God, when are you going to stop the wicked? When is all this lying and nonsense and conniving and deceitfulness? When is all that going to stop? When are you going to deal with the wicked? God, when are you going to deliver your people? When? How long is all this madness going to last? It's kind of where Habakkuk is. It's kind of where Jeremiah is. It's kind of where the people of God are during that time. It's kind of where we are today. How bad, Lord, is it going to get before you absolutely intervene? How bad? The why, the when, and how. Tough times kind of spur those questions in our heads, right? And two, the whole thing about trouble tends to make us think, kind of like the disciples in that boat that day when the storm came up. Lord, don't you care that we're drowning here? Sometimes our faith can even go there to such a weak point to where we say, Lord, are you listening to me anymore? Did you even hear when I said help? Did you hear my prayer? Are you there? Sometimes those questions are provoked in us when we go through these difficult times. And hope and faith just get banged on, don't they? When difficulties linger and when they certainly intensify, our faith and our hope take a beating sometimes, don't they? It just does. It happens to all of us. So maybe you or someone you love is in a place like this. Well, God's got some word for you this morning. He's got some hope for you. He wants to strengthen your faith. Now, God's solution to the problem that Habakkuk has right here, his solution is this. It's not something Habakkuk wants to hear. It's not something the people want to hear. God's solution to them in that day was, I'm going to send the Babylonians to bring judgment on my people. They won't hear my voice, so they're going to hear these Babylonians. Now, send the Babylonians? Send the enemy? Let him do his thing? God said, yes, the cup of judgment and correction is full. And you're going to have to drink it now. And the Babylonians, you're going to send the Babylonians, that wicked bunch, they're worse than we are. Huh. So we can just kind of be real when it comes to dealing with God in situations like this. Sometimes God's answer and God's timing is just not what we want to hear. And you know the timing issue is a big deal with us, isn't it? See, we wear watches. You know what I discovered about God? He don't have a watch. He keeps his own time, doesn't he? And we're trying to figure out what's going on, and we just got to kind of be real. Sometimes we don't like what we get back from God. I don't think he liked that answer, but it was just the right thing God was going to do. And God assures Habakkuk, and he assures us, and listen to this, that he is at work even through the bad stuff. That God is still at work, even though it's getting rough, God is still at work to bring deliverance to his people. And that God will reward the righteous and God will judge the wicked. That's a fact. That's a reality. But how we respond in these difficult times is very, very important. How we respond. Now let me throw this statement out to you. This is a statement of faith for us. God is good. Say it with me. God is good. He is. He's good. But you know, we often tie that statement to something that good that happens. When a prayer is answered, we say, God is good. And that's true. When you get a blessing of some time, we say, of some kind, we say, God is good. And that's true. He's good and he's faithful. When something good happens, we say, God is good. But so much of our moods and even our faith are based upon circumstances. We've got to be real careful with that. You cannot foundation your faith on what CNN says, Fox News says, what the politicians say. God help us with that deal. You can't base your foundation of faith on the economy, whether it's good or bad. You can't base your foundation of faith upon the winds that blow, so to speak. You got to have something firmer than that, don't we? So let me ask you this. When bad things happen, is God still good? See, that's what Habakkuk's going to learn through all this. That's where he gets to that statement of faith, is that he learned that even when things were bad, God's still good. And that's an anchor point we've got to have, that God is good no matter what. It's not based on the circumstances, because God will give bad circumstances, but he'll make some good out of it. He takes this Babylonian exile and he literally forges his people together and brings the word of God together during that time and season and does something good in a very bad situation. So you can't drop the period on the sentence too quick. When God's at work, even if it's bad, the promise over his people is he's going to make it good. Isn't that good? So you got to know that. Even though things are bad. So it's not based on circumstances. God is good is not based on circumstances. Enjoy the good circumstances. Enjoy the blessings. God, praise God over it. But even when it's going bad, God is still good. I wish we had time we could go to the story of Joseph. What if we asked Joseph that question? I mean, I'm talking about like old man Joseph. If we were to ask old man Joseph, remember Joseph? Thrown in the pit, thrown in the prison, thrown into Potiphar's house, all the injustice that went on with him and all the things that he was wrongly accused and spent somewhere like 13 years of his life in bad situation, like in a dark situation. 13 years, that's a long time, isn't it? And then all of a sudden he ends up in the palace, second only to Pharaoh. And if we could ask old man Joseph, is God still good when things are bad? Old man Joseph would say, you better know it. Now, he had some hard times in that prison. Those prisons he was in didn't have cable TV. You know what I'm saying? It was some tough stuff. I think Gunner's gun. Something wrong with his gun over there. So Joseph would tell us this. He said, you meant it for evil. You meant it for evil. All the things that we're doing, the enemy was trying to destroy my life. You didn't like me. You were trying to destroy my life. But God meant it for good, and God took all of that bad and he turned it into good. That's what old man Joseph would tell us. And you got to know that as a foundation of your faith and an anchor point, that God is good even when things are bad. All right, now, so we're called to this level of trust. Just read some of these statements here. I just was kind of writing it all out and just kind of want to share it. We're called to trust that God is good and at work, even though we may not see or understand what it is or what he's doing. And it's not blind faith, but it is faith that doesn't necessarily see everything. So we're called to this relationship of trust. We are to trust God through the best of times and even the worst of times. We are called to trust that God is too loving to be unkind and he's too wise to ever be wrong. Got to know that about him now. And here's the proof we've got. Look at the cross. The cross of Jesus, that is the central point of our faith, is where our redemption and salvation took place, right there at the cross. The cross of Jesus Christ tells us that all the unjust suffering that Jesus endured proved that after every cross is the promise of resurrection life. Every cross that you bear in the name of Jesus, Jesus shows us that the pattern is you go through the suffering, you go through the death, and on the other side of all of that is God's resurrection life. You got to know that now. That's how you can trust when you're going through those suffering times and those difficult times, those persecution times, when you're going through all that. You got to know resurrection's on the other side. And listen to me. Whatever has the Spirit of Christ in it will always resurrect. If it didn't resurrect, guess what? It was supposed to die. But whatever has the Spirit of Christ in it will always resurrect. Always. All right, so trust. Everybody say trust. Now I hear my brother Job. Job's got some deep waters he walked through now. Hear Job. He's having a conversation at the breakfast table with his wife. It's after the worst season you can imagine. Lost all their kids, all their stuff, all their wealth. Job's eat up, he's sick. Lost his health. All this stuff happens. And his wife looks at him and says this. Then Job's wife said to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. Just put an end to it, Job. Just stop it. And listen to Job's response right here. It's powerful now. But Job said to his wife, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Be careful here now. But he's telling the truth. You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity? Are we just going to be fair weather friends with God? And when things are going good, we're good. Things are going bad, I'm out. I'm looking for something else. There's a lot of people like that now. He said, no, we're in this for the long haul, honey. I know it's rough on you. This season's terrible on both of us. We lost everything together. But are we just going to serve God when it's good? Or are we going to keep serving him even through adversity and through when it's bad? And it says, in all of this, Job did not sin with his lips. That's some serious trust, isn't it? That's some serious trust in some really dark times. Now, back to Habakkuk. Habakkuk 2:4. We're getting towards the end of it. He says this. Behold the proud. His soul is not upright in him. But the just shall live by his faith. If you know anything about the New Testament, that's repeated several times throughout the New Testament. If you know anything about church history, that is the phrase right there that Martin Luther used to start the Reformation. The just shall live by faith. Say that with me. The just shall live by faith. So we live by faith. We live from God's word, right? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. So we live by faith, and that means that we live by the word of God. We live by the promises of God. We live by the word of God. Not circumstances now. Then Paul says, 2 Corinthians 5:7, he says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." See, sight, everybody can walk by sight. We respond to circumstances, good, bad, or ugly. Everybody sees what's happening. But faith has got a different set of eyes, doesn't it? It sees something everybody else don't see. And he said, as believers, what we do, we walk by faith. We got a different vision on the world. We got a different way to look at the world. We got a different perspective on life. That we are to walk by faith. We're to live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, is what Jesus told us. That's the big test. Are you going to live by the circumstances, by the philosophies of this world, by the perspective of this world, the ideas of this world? Or are you going to live by the word of God? We've got that battle going on in the church right now. Are we going to live by the pressure of the culture and change how we look at man and woman relationships and marriage and all that kind of stuff? Or are we going to live by the word of God that's black and white, plain and simple? Now, you can go by the way of the culture, but that way will always lead to darkness and hell. Or you can go by the way of God's word, which he'll always honor. So what are we going to do? We're going to live by what we see, what we hear, the pressure of our culture. Or we're going to live by faith. And Habakkuk, at the end of chapter 3 right here, he gives us this statement of faith. And it's one that we need to adopt. And let's just break some of this down. It says, though the fig tree may not blossom. Got to get these pictures. You see a fig tree? My mama's house in Memphis. Right outside the back porch. She just had a little old bitty house. Raised three kids in a 1,000 square foot house. Y'all know what I'm talking about? One bathroom. And they all still love each other. How about that? But right outside her porch. She had a little bitty porch. But right outside that porch right there, outside the back door, was this big old fig tree. We could just walk out on that back porch and just pull fig. Anybody got a story like that? You know about Mama's house with fig trees? But this fig tree is what? What's wrong with this fig tree? No figs. Nor fruit be on the vine. The grapevine and all the fruit tree, nothing. We're talking about food shortage. This is a brutal time, what he's talking about right here. He's describing. Though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields, they yield no food. Though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. So he's describing this terribly difficult time. How are you going to overcome situations like that where there's food shortage and economic collapse and all the things that are happening around you? A calamity and trouble all over the place. Everybody is nosedive. It's rough. How will you respond? Verse 18. Here's his response. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Did you see that word right there? Yet. What does yet tell you? All that's going on. I see it. I'm not walking by sight though. Even though all that bad stuff's happening, all that difficult stuff's happening, I still will rejoice in the Lord my God. Even though I'm going through all this stuff, see, though the fig tree doesn't blossom, though the olive fail, there's no food, though there's no food in the fields, though even the flocks, the livestock's dying off, I don't have all this stuff. And he says a though and a yet. And you got to have that kind of even though kind of faith inside of you. That even though this happens, even though they may leave me, even though the relationship's broken, even though the job is lost, even though the finances are acting funny, even though the kids are off track and all these things are happening, I've got to have the kind of faith that says, yet, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. Because see, faith is planted in a different soul. Planted in a different reality. And to appeal to Job again, he would say things like, though he slay me, I'll still serve him. That's different, isn't it? That's a different feel. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. So let me show you a little spiritual math here. A little God math. A little spiritual equation. When a person trusts in Jesus, what comes out of that is peace and joy. Trust in Jesus with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding now. Trust in Jesus, and trust in Jesus will always produce peace and joy in a person. In fact, those two things, peace and joy, those are the two things that Jesus said, I'm going to give you. If you are my people, I'm going to give you. In fact, he said it like this. He said, I'm going to give you peace, not as the world gives peace, because that's circumstantial again. I'm going to give you my peace. My peace I give to you. Now, what kind of peace has Jesus got? I tell you what kind of peace he's got. He's got enough peace in his heart, he can crawl up on a cross and die and know that his life's not over. And know that his God hadn't left him. And he said, my joy I'm going to leave you. And what kind of joy? I don't know how you picture Jesus. It really depends on your background and how you raised and perspectives and all that kind of stuff. But a lot of people picture Jesus as kind of stiff and stern and somber. I don't. I picture Jesus as everywhere he went, he was full of joy. I don't know how you picture him. You see him walking around. He wasn't rattled by anything. And Nehemiah would tell us this, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And if God's going to put strength in a person, what he wants to put inside of them is joy. And see, joy is this. Joy is not found in circumstances again. Joy is rooted in God, and it's found in this strong relationship with Jesus, and it's just the understanding that I can be at peace and I can live in joy because everything's going to be okay. Trust in Jesus produces peace and joy in a person. Joy. Did you see his joy right there? He said, I will rejoice in the Lord. Now you're getting the Hebrew word for rejoice right there. Listen to what it says. The Hebrew word right there for rejoice is to jump for joy. You know, you see that? In fact, you see these young people go to a concert. There's a bunch of white people there. All those people from Memphis, we're trying to move. All them other white people there. But this one there. Anyway, that's another deal. But that's what he's saying. He said, I am going to jump for joy. Now, the fig tree's dead. The sheep and ox are dead. Nothing in the natural to get happy about, to jump up down about. He said, I'm going to jump for joy in the Lord. In spite of all of this, I'm going to put my praise on no matter what. All right? And he says, I will joy in the God of my salvation. Uncover that other Hebrew word for joy right there. It means to spin around and be glad. Now, I can't spin around. I'll fall out right here. My spinning day's over. But it means to spin around like somebody would dance and twirl before the Lord. That's what that word means right there. He said, so I'm going to find some time to praise God. And look at this. Instead of complaining about all the circumstances that's going on. And there's a lot to complain about. There's a whole lot in this world to complain about. I hadn't met anybody that's got it all together. Nobody's life's going in the right direction all the time. And you know, you get the kids straightened out and the wife acts funny. You get the wife straightened out and the husband acts funny. You get all that done, you got to take the dog to the vet. You know what I'm saying? And you get all this going on and the bill drops on you didn't know about. Nobody's life's ever going in the right direction. So if you're waiting on everything to line up for you to get happy and joy to come into your soul, you're going to wait a long time, honey. It's just not going to happen in this world. So it's got to be rooted. Did you notice the phrase right there? I will rejoice what? It doesn't say I will rejoice because Tuesday was a great day, does it? Where's the joy rooted at? It's in the Lord. You see? This I will rejoice in spite of all the circumstances that Habakkuk's talking about. I will rejoice. I will joy in the God of my salvation. This is somebody plugged into a different reality than everybody else. This is somebody whose life and the roots of their life go into a different soil. This is someone living from the unlimited resources of heaven. I know things don't look good on the stock market. Things don't look good with the portfolio and all the job situation. But I don't live off of all that. I live off of the unlimited resources of the kingdom of God. That's what we live off of. And this is someone walking under the watchful care of Jesus the Good Shepherd. And again, joy springs forth from a heart that knows everything is okay because God is with them. You got to find that place. See, that's the place of faith right there. And listen, everything that's not okay will in time or in eternity, it's going to be okay. So everything is okay, I'm good. Everything is not okay, it's going to be okay. I got a statement. I've said it all my life. It's all good. You're supposed to get me a t-shirt of that. Where you at, Miss Kathy? You're supposed to get me a t-shirt of that, wouldn't you? You try. we'll get on them. It's all good. I used to say it all the time. It's all good. And it kind of became like a statement of faith. It's all good. Well, what if it ain't all good? Well, it's all going to be good. It's all going to be good. What if my health fails? It's going to be good. For me to live as Christ, if I die, that gain. See, hell can't handle a person like that now. There ain't nothing that you can throw at a person like that that will shake them. And we got to get to that place to where our lives are deeply rooted in Christ. That's one of our foundations. We're deeply rooted in Christ. And roots that go down into His soul produce that joy, this kind of joy. All right. Let's wrap it up with this. He says, the Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and He will make me walk on my high hills. Now, let me show you a little clip right here. It's a couple minutes long. He will make my feet like deer's feet. Now, when we think of deer, we think of the deer that we see now. These are different deer in Israel. Ever heard of the ibex? Okay, it's kind of like a mountain deer kind of thing, or like almost a mountain goat kind of thing. Looks like a face of a deer. It's got horns like a goat. But this is what Habakkuk would have been seeing. Now, Habakkuk would have either had this in sight or he would have had this in mind as he thinks about this. All right, so look, can you get that little video right here? Maybe this video will show real plain and clear to you. Just watch this. Let's have a little National Geographic moment. Can we do that? Y'all good with that? Let's watch. This is the deer feet. This is what Habakkuk had in mind. Watch this. Let's see if I can get...
Hospitable land in Israel is not an easy place to live.
Can y'all hear?
Up here, your footing needs to be firm, and a head for heights is essential. Meet the ibex. They've made these precarious cliffs their own. But for these newborn ibex kids, this rocky wilderness makes for a nerve-wracking nursery. They spend the first few days of their life at the very top of the cliffs, relatively safe from predators who can't scale these summits. However, at less than a week old, they must leave their playtime plateaus. They will attempt their first descent of these terrifying rock walls. Their mother needs to find food. Now, the steep terrain that has kept them safe can turn treacherous. Their mother leads the way, kids are understandably tentative. But ibex are born with remarkable feet made for just this purpose. Slowly, they pick their way down the sheer rock faces with cleft feet that spread wide, exposing rubbery pads that grip the rock. Their mother shows them the best route. She's done it hundreds of times before. Gradually, the kids start to get the hang of it, but they need to focus. One slip could be their last.
You see that? That's a picture now. You read that and you think about the little flat hills of Mississippi. Habakkuk was watching that deer. And he said, God, I'm watching that deer, that mountainside, that sheer cliff, that dangerous cliff right there, that's life. That's where the prophet takes it, his mind just illuminates right there. And the Holy Spirit speaks and says, that's life. Situations are tough and it's treacherous. And you can die out there. And he saw that little deer coming down, that little ibex coming down. And he said, God, I know you're not going to change the mountainside. Smooth paths are not always a reality. Hard times are going to come. So, God, will you make my feet like that? Will you make it where I can walk on those difficult places? David said, will you strengthen my legs? Will you strengthen my ankles? Will you help my walk? God, I'm going to have to walk some difficult times here. Some hard places. And Lord, since sometimes you will change the circumstances, and I thank God for that. But sometimes you need to strengthen me because you're not going to change all that. And I got to walk right through the mouth of hell to get to where I'm going. So strengthen my faith. Help me to be stronger. Stronger than what's coming at me. Make me strong and courageous, Lord. Empower me to be a conqueror like that. That's what Habakkuk's asking. That's what we're asking. Help me climb to the higher ground so I can breathe some of that holy air. Help me climb higher so I can hear better. Help me not be overcome by life, but help me become an overcomer. Now you think about an overcomer, what is that? See, if you're going to be an overcomer, that means you've got to come over something. Some things don't get to move. Some things you got to get over. And you got to climb over. The apostle said that we're more than conquerors through Him who loves us. We're more than conquerors through Christ. And if I'm going to be more than a conqueror, that means I'm going to have to conquer something. Not all the battles are going to go away. Some of them are going to have to learn how to fight. This picture right here of this kind of feet, this is a picture of God's empowering grace to help us be overcomers, to help us conquer the things of life. You hear? How are you going to overcome difficult days? God's going to need strength in your legs. He's going to have to give you a different kind of feet to walk in a different kind of place. Hear the words of the prophet again. Though the fig tree may not blossom, no fruit be on the vine, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields that yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet. That's different. It's a little different now, doesn't it? And He will make me walk on those high, raggedy hills. Come on, let's pray. Lord, help us. We need some of this. We need some of this, Lord. We are so grateful and blessed when You change the circumstances. But Lord, I found something out. That rather than change all the circumstances, you are a lot more interested in changing me. Making me into a different kind of man. making me stronger. So Lord, I pray you'd help us. Help us, strengthen us. Lord, we get a little weak-legged sometimes. We get a little discouraged. Get a little overwhelmed. But Lord, I pray that you would infuse in us a faith, the kind of faith that brings that peace and joy with it. And we can walk through anything and come out on the other side better. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I want you to take a minute right there where you're at and just ask the Holy Spirit what He wants to say to you. Just take a minute, reflect. Say, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me today? There's a way to live maybe you've never even thought about. There's a peace and a joy that can be yours. If you're a follower of Jesus, it's your inheritance. So Holy Spirit, speak to your people. Speak to us. Give us ears to hear, Lord. Just in keeping with this Habakkuk here, how many say, Pastor, will you please pray for me? I need the Lord to strengthen my feet. I need the Lord to strengthen my feet. I'm walking through some difficult things. Anybody just slip up your hand? I just love to pray for you. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. All over the place. Lord, we're still going to talk to you about the circumstances. We need a lot of help. A miracle or two wouldn't hurt either. But in this whole process, Lord, I pray you'd strengthen us. Help us not to faint in the day of opposition, Lord. Holy Spirit, do what you do. Strengthen your people. Breathe in us the breath of life. The strength, Lord, that you had when you walked here, we need that. And Lord, forgive us where we've stumbled, where we've faltered, where we've complained. We fussed, maybe even backslid. If that's you this morning, just ask the Lord to forgive you. He's good like that.